If anyone missed being at Mass this morning, I went around, as I am wont to do, and just pointed at each one and said, and I'll just remind you that as Jesus says, Father, they are your gift to me, and not just the 12, but those who would believe in his name because of their testimony. Testimony to what? The resurrection. So we're here on the resurrection life course because everything changed at the moment of the resurrection. And it wasn't immediately after the resurrection, but it was after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Before we talk today, I talk today about being filled or baptized or filled some more or being strengthened by the Holy Spirit that we received in our own baptism, let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the great gift of a Redeemer. We thank you that Jesus, who is like us, the Scriptures tell us, in all things but sin, chose not his own will, but the will of the Father, that he would suffer and die, allowing creation, us, to kill him and to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We didn't know that we were killing God, but that horror of horrors led to the greatest gift that those of us who believe, who are called by his name, can become children of God. We thank you that we are in Christ, brothers and sisters, and we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of dangerous. There's no clock in here. Luke and Acts were written by the same evangelist, Luke. He wrote both of them. And he begins the Acts of the Apostles, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in and through those who were called to be his sons and daughters. And this recounts Jesus before he ascended to the Father. And this is in chapter 1. It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. They were hoping that he would establish the kingdom right away. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, even to Clarkston, Michigan. All right? Holt, Lansing, right? Everywhere. You will be my witnesses. And he was taken up. And Acts chapter 2 recounts the powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were gathered there. They were afraid. They were terrified, and like a mighty wind, the Holy Spirit came down, and I was preaching on Pentecost at my former parish in Swartz Creek, and just as I was preaching about the mighty wind, I don't know if you were there or not, Debbie, but a canister that someone was using for oxygen just blew. It was so, nothing like that happened here today, unfortunately, but it was so dramatic that you could not miss it, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and they were changed, and we, too, are changed, but as I said at the homily this morning, it isn't so obvious, is it? This flipping of switch. Sometimes it happens. We've got these people who've got these dramatic conversion stories. They believe and they're freed from this or that. And sometimes the Lord works that way. But more often, it is the slow, steady work of helping us become more and more aligned to the will of the Father that comes through the prayer that we've talked about through these past days. Paul was changed by an encounter with the risen Jesus. He was a persecutor of the church, many of you know that, and he became the greatest proponent, and he was struck blind. And sometimes the Lord brings us to the end of ourselves so that we will be docile to his movement. So the tragedies of life, and I know some of the tragedies of your lives. I know that all of us know that this is not heaven, right? There's sorrow and sadness, and yet the Lord invites us to trust him. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, talks about the mysteries, and I'd encourage you at some point to read through it, especially the first couple of chapters, which I'm going to gloss today. This is how he begins. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are also faithful in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to ask you to a show of hands, but all of us are saints. You might say, not so. No, we are. We are saints. We're already saints. It's just not yet. Already, but not yet. If you've been baptized, you become a saint, and you're saints striving here below. And the Lord wants us to help each other attend more and more to the Holy Spirit and to be more and more docile and open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we might become the saints that we already are in him. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with, note this, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And I want to go through it verse by verse, but I won't. But he chose you. There's none of... I sometimes recall on the playground at Immaculate Heart of Mary on the south side of Lansing, and I was a middling player, right? But when they would choose up sides for baseball, you know, there was always that one at the end, and all right, I'll take Mattson. All right. You take Smith, and I'll take Mattson. All right, well, you got to have some. None of us is that way with God, all right? All right, I'll die for you too. No, none of that, right? In fact, he has made you and me. He called you into being, and he wants you to be yourself in him. Not to be like somebody else, not to be a great guitar player, fiddle player like somebody else. Now, if you want to be a good guitar player, be your own good guitar player. Don't say, I wish I could play like... Well, you can say that, but don't say I'm not worthwhile if I don't play guitar that way, or I can't speak that way. On that point, the fact that we are all indispensable, how many of you, and I'm sorry for the show and tell, the raising of the hands, how many of you think there are people in your lives who would more readily listen to you than to me? That you have a basis with them. Right, right. So how is it that the Lord could say that if I go, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will do greater things than these, all of these miracles that he's done? It's because the Holy Spirit at Pentecost came down upon all of them so that when you were baptized, you may not have been anointed, Amber. That's not necessary for baptism. But if anyone was baptized in the Catholic tradition or in the tradition that anoints, you are anointed priest, prophet, and king. You become a little Christ. So wherever we go, Christ goes. We take him. But we need to know that fellowship with him in the Holy Spirit. The whole message of our faith is that we were broken, wounded, sinful, and God, out of his love, came to send his son to ultimately die on the cross, to show us what love looks like most manifestly in his death and resurrection, and then to give us access to life in him. Chapter 2 of Ephesians says this, "And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." And some of you might say, well, once walked, I still kind of sometimes tarry there. All right, well, welcome to the human race. Welcome to the broken church. I love the fact that Paul tells us in Romans that in chapter 6, in baptism, we died to sin. But then chapter 7 says, I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do. Who will deliver me from this? Christ Jesus, all right? He's allowed all of this. Now, what he wants us to do is move beyond sin, and the Holy Spirit will give us greater freedom, right? But not perfect freedom. What faith would it take if you prayed a prayer and then everything went swimmingly in life? Would it take any faith then? No. It's like, it'll be like a vending machine, right? Well, of course I'm going to do that. So faith, this is not in the outline, this is just my free interpolation or insertion. Faith has to have plausible deniability. All right? Well, you just say that. No, I have hope. I believe. It can't be demonstrably proven, right? We don't have evidence other than the testimony of the apostles that Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, that's just. No, I have a sense in my heart. People can deny it. And if you make changes in your life based on the Holy Spirit and your desire to grow in holiness, they may poo-poo it. Oh, come on. Just look at what's happened to you. Just forget it. Just give up. No, I sense the Lord's leading of me. But he died, and Paul is talking about our stance in Christ. Among these sins, we once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath. We deserved judgment like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are somehow in a mystical way in Christ up in heaven already, but not yet. Now, this is a theologically complicated thing, but what I want you to hear me say is the Holy Spirit and our faith is an encouraging of the continuing journey. We are pilgrims. We haven't arrived yet. We will only arrive after we die. And if we become more and more saints, we will see him face to face more quickly than if we hold on to the things and we let the things of earth hold on to us here below. So he gave us the gift to be sons and daughters. And for those of us who were baptized as children, our parents made that choice. For those who make that choice as adults, we make that choice. I do believe, and I'm going to die to myself and strive to live with him and in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we make a conversion or we go on a retreat and we have a renewed conversion? Well, what happens, especially when we have a first outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have an ability. Sometimes after people experience an outpouring and they're open to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures that had seemed opaque seem to come alive. There's a greater interest in reading the scriptures. We begin to take seriously our prayer life. Our conscience is heightened. We sense the Holy Spirit pulling us back from this or that indulgence or this or that flaw that we have given into, that selfishness. We begin to serve. All of these things are fruits of the Lord's grace. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks about, he contrasts the works of the flesh, which all of us, I think, probably know pretty well, and the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Father Rolf talked about those last week. And indeed, There's not a person alive that doesn't want those fruits of the Spirit. And the Lord, as we come to Him and we open ourselves to Him, will give us those. And it doesn't happen instantaneously. He gives us opportunities. Lord, make me patient. What happens next? All reasons not to be patient. Right? Lord, give me faith. Right? That's a theological gift. But He allows challenges in our lives so that we have faith, hope, and love. Peace. Peace that the world cannot give. I'm guessing that there might be a few people in here who are wondering what is going to happen after Proposal 3 passing. I find myself there. But I can be worried about it. But the Lord wants me to be peaceful, even if I'm prayerful, to rest in His loving care for us. If we look at the fruits of the Spirit, the first one is love. And last evening, Sean talked to us about forgiveness. And forgiveness can put a stopper on our ability to receive and to give love. And pride, those inner vows that we talked about, I'll never trust again, I'll never be vulnerable again, I have to be in charge, all of those things impede our ability to receive and to give love. Love, two great commandments, love God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. I say this often to the children at daily mass, that it's hard to love siblings sometimes. But we need to love. So Jesus gives us the love. And especially if we've got enemies, even on the playground, right? The bully, right? And don't tell anybody, but there are some kids at Resurrection who can sometimes bully. Can you imagine? But we need to love. But we don't have it ourselves. We need it from the Lord. So it comes first through the Holy Spirit, and then we're nourished by the Eucharist that gives us the love that God has for us to receive and to give away. As I said at the homily this morning, the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have been given gifts. In John chapter 3, the Lord says, God does not ration His Spirit. All right, now just think about that, right? God does not ration His Spirit. So it's not like I get an extra portion of God's Spirit, and, you know, I'm not going to point to anybody because people might say, well, yeah, that's true. I just got a little bit. So little Susie over here just gets a little thimbleful, right, of the Holy Spirit. No, it came down upon everybody who was there. And in Ephesians 4, which we heard today at Mass, let me remind you of what we heard. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So gift in Greek is charism. So when we're given the Holy Spirit, we're given gifts, we're given charisms, and they are to be used, they're to be received, and to be used for the building up of the kingdom of God and the salvation of souls. He goes on to list some of the gifts. Now notice that these gifts are not just for the holy ones, but for all of us. Anyone who's been baptized has received gifts. And if you want to emulate somebody else's gift, that means some gift that you have that the body needs is not going to be exercised. Paul talks about that in a significant way in the biggest treatment of gifts, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. Inspires them all in everyone. Inspires them all in everyone. Again, this point, no one is superfluous, no one is extraneous, no one is redundant. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Should I make that point again? To each one as he wills. Then he goes into the comparison, right? For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For the body does not consist of one member, but has many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And he goes through all the, you know, I wonder sometimes if the part of the body that is the big toe has any idea how important they are in the body of Christ, right? Any of you heard people have harmed? All right, you push the analogy too far, but the fact is all of us are vital for the building up of the kingdom of God and the salvation of souls. And so the Lord gives us gifts in the Holy Spirit so that we can help each other. One of the things that is clearer to me now than it was when I was ordained a priest is that times are going to get increasingly difficult, and we're going to need each other more than we have needed each other. In Western cultures, we can be relatively comfortable and arrange things the way we want them. We're a little too hot, we open the windows. We're a little bit too cold, we turn up the heat, right? We're able. Now, in the spiritual life, we need others to help us along. When our faith flags, we need somebody else who is in the body who can encourage us and strengthen us and maybe call us beyond ourselves. So we have been given His Holy Spirit, and for us to pay attention to that and to recognize that the gifts that we've been given are vital, not just for us, but for the entire body of Christ. I can't remember if it was talked about in one of the earlier talks. Might have been when Father Rolf talked about the Holy Spirit, but the idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit being kind of dormant. And Father Cantalamessa, the papal preacher, talks about sacraments being tied. So this morning at Mass, I talked about the fact that everything we need we received in our baptism, but we don't feel it, right? And there's a principle in sacramental theology that we receive grace according to our ability to receive it. And so if I'm open radically to the Holy Spirit, I can receive radically from the Holy Spirit. If I'm open just this much, the thimble much, that's how much I can receive. We limit our ability to receive by our openness, our receptivity, our docility. And so for us to be open to receive, so let's say you were baptized, you received Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, as I did as a child, and you were confirmed. I was confirmed in fourth or fifth grade. I didn't feel the power of the Holy Spirit at all. I went through a Life in the Spirit seminar, which is kind of like this, and I was 13 maybe, and we went and we heard a talk about the gifts and about praying for each other and laying hands on. And it's amazing how common that gesture is talked about in the New Testament, of laying on of hands. It's also Old Testament, but largely in the New Testament, that when there was in Acts chapter 8, read that section, Acts chapter 8, if I have the citation correct, yeah. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So they'd have an awakening to the truth that we find in Christ. For the Spirit had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So when we pray a little bit later for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if you're comfortable with it, those in the groups that you'll be divided up into will just lay hands on you and just pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And we can ask actually for more. You might say, well, I've already received it. Who wants more? I want more, right? And it's not greedy. You can want everything. Now, we can get greedy. Let me tell you that, all right? Receive the gifts that he's going to give you, right? Be open to them. What happens next? Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I think that's a good thing, right? It would be great, but the principle of simony, buying spiritual goods comes from this text. But Peter said to him, your silver perish with you because you have thought that you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in the matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of the wickedness. Now, so it was through the laying on of hands, and Paul talks to Timothy. He says, stir up into flame the gift of God that was you received through the laying on of my hands. And he talks again about stirring it up. So that's what we're going to be asking for, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a stirring up of the Holy Spirit, that we might know that we are chosen and gifted for the building up of the kingdom of God and the salvation of souls. In that list of gifts that I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talked about different charisms. And I want to just talk a little bit about those gifts. There's in the scriptures, in Acts 2, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4, there's 27 different gifts. So there's a lot of gifts and a lot of different combinations of gifts. And I'm just going to go through briefly what these various gifts mean. So prophecy is the foretelling. It can be foretelling, but it's mostly the foretelling, the proclamation of the truth to a community or individual. There might be a word that you have in a time of prayer to share with a brother or sister. That might be a prophetic word or a word of knowledge. Prophecy does not, Paul says the purpose of prophecy is the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation of God's people. The word of knowledge is simply the Holy Spirit transmitting specific knowledge to me, to you or to me, for some good. And we're gonna do a little demonstration experience of listening to the Lord. When I preach, I sense the Lord sometimes kind of planting words in my mind. So if you come to different masses, some of you who are musicians have come to different masses, you realize they're not all the same. And I need to pay attention. I feel like the more I pay attention, the more the Lord speaks to me. I was, one time, that this was really striking, this word of knowledge. I was at St. Thomas Aquinas, and went out to anoint somebody at Burcham Hills, which wasn't very far. But I forgot the person's name and their room number, and I was there ready to turn around, and I just had this prompting to pick up the paper on the floor. What do you think happened? It was her name and her room number. Now I could say that's just a really interesting coincidence. Or I can say, thank you, Lord, which is what I said. Thank you, Lord. The more we look for him, like today, you might say, Father, you made a big deal about the proper readings for St. Josaphat. No, I see that as a touch from the Lord. And for us to look for his acts, wow, it's so good that we were able to talk, that I was able to see you. And so we can listen to the Lord's word to us. And sometimes when we're praying with people, we get images for them. And I think it was Stacy DeVries. She was praying with somebody, and she just had this interesting, she just had an image of somebody fly fishing. And she just shared that with him. I love fly fishing. Now, you might say, well, what is that? That's a touch from the Lord. Craig was his name. Craig felt loved by God through her. Now, what if she said, that's stupid? I can't say. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you to say if you feel like it's stupid. This may sound stupid, but I had this image. Now, you've covered yourself, right? Yeah, that's stupid. But maybe, just maybe, the Lord is waiting for us to give him permission to love others through us. That's why we're here. You might say, I'm just trying to survive. Oh, yes. But no. Let's be fully alive in Christ. And the more we can attend to him, promptings, and spend some time in prayer and try to figure out ways to avoid those snares of the evil one, right? The scriptures are very powerful. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companions corrupt good moral habits. If you're spending time with so-and-so who makes you worse, don't say, I'm going to go evangelize them. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you're outnumbered, and another newsflash, the reason you sin is you like it. Right? I mean, like, we don't have to pretend about that. Now, we like it till we realize, it didn't satisfy again. Right? Again and again and again. So discernment of spirits is another one. I remember going to the woman care facility, and we were praying. We were going room to room and just paying attention to the promptings from the Lord and discerning what spirits were present there. And there was just desolation and despair and anger and resentment. And in one space that was really, it was just so oppressive to all of us, the exorcist of the diocese and several others of us who were praying, we were there, and we didn't feel like we were able to kind of break through that spirit. We went through the rest of the room. We came back, and I had this word, Moloch. So it was an abortion clinic. Moloch was the god who required child sacrifice. So we prayed against, we bound and prayed against the spirit of Moloch. And when I said Moloch, Father Roy Horning, who has a ministry of discernment of spirit and deliverance, he had an image in his mind. And when he went back and he conducted the source of all knowledge, Google, he found... Did you not know that? Okay. He saw the same image he had in his mind was what Google, or maybe Wikipedia, I don't know what it was. But in any case, discernment of spirits. There might be times where you go into somebody's house and you just feel oppressed. And you say, ask the Lord what's going on. What is that? And then just pray against it. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, kindle in them the fire of your love. These prayers, right? We are walking Christians. We're going to places that Jesus wants to go. He says, do not be afraid. Whatever you do, whatever comes, I've already overcome the world. How many of you have heard of praying in tongues? All right. So now, when I was 13 or 14, we were asked to pray to receive the gift of tongues. And what is the gift of tongues? It's a prayer language, which isn't one you learn, but it's a gift. And Acts chapter 2 talked about the fact that they heard the apostles talking in their language, Medes and Greeks and all of these other places. So the Lord was using tongues to proclaim the gospel. But when Paul talks about tongues, it seems like it's a prayer language. And He says, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than all of you, right? And he wants everybody to speak in tongues. And I remember being asked to just start babbling when we were talking about tongues. And I'm not sure about that. Well, I'm babbling. But I did. I started babbling. And then I realized it wasn't me babbling, but it was I gave God permission to use my tongue to pray in ways I had no idea how I was praying. So that's kind of vulnerable surrender. And I think that's why tongues is kind of a gateway gift to other gifts, right? So I have to surrender my faculties. I mean, we're doing that with words of knowledge, too, to suspend disbelief that the Lord actually would want to speak to me or to use me to encourage somebody or to challenge them. And I found that when I didn't know what else to pray, I didn't do it often. We had been part of a group that prayed charismatically, but we stopped going to that group. But when I didn't know what to pray for someone, I just prayed in tongues. It was like, I don't have words. So I just prayed in tongues. And that kind of went dormant. And then when I was ordained a deacon, years and years later, it was so interesting. The first time I went from the chair to the altar to the ambo to preach, I found myself praying in tongues, not out loud. And don't worry about it. If you have the gift of tongues, it's not like you're going to be in a symphony orchestra and you're just going to start belting something out. No. It's not. I totally have control of whether I'm yielding to the gift or not. And every time between the chair and the ambo, now I pray in tongues that I would be more docile to the Spirit. And I believe that the Lord has allowed that to bear fruit. So speaking in tongues is yielding. My mother told me this story that she told the Lord, Lord, if that's a gift you want me to have, speaking in tongues, I don't know if I want it, but I will receive it if you give it to me. And so she was just praying downstairs in our house, and she just yielded, and it came. Now, some people will say that the gift of tongues is the sure sign that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I disagree with those who might say that. Paul himself says, do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? No, but it is very common, and it's a sign to us of God's presence. And I will just tell you, I am not making it up, okay? Now, you probably could. It just seems like a lot of work, though. Right? And what am I going to say next? No, it's... I think it is... very helpful. Let me just give you some lines that Paul says here. Let's see. This is chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Now, I want all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. And then he talks about the fact that prophecy benefits the whole community, whereas tongues really benefits me. Now, you can have a prophecy that is in tongues, but then there ought to be an interpretation. This is the order of the gifts. There's also faith that could be manifest, and miracles, and healing. And we're going to talk later about healing experiences. People have experienced healing through my prayers, and you may have the gift of healing, and you may not know it. So praying with people for healing might be the way that gift manifests itself. The Lord can use any of us to speak words of knowledge, prophecy, gifts of tongues, healings and miracles. But some of us have these gifts. And when there's, I'll just say, Lee, you talked to me about healing, and I recommended that you make an appointment with Chris and Debbie. Why?
I was healed.
Huh? Oh, interesting, isn't it? Now, Sean, you told me that when people are in a dire state, the Lord has used you to heal, right? There was a man who had a horrible kidney stone. This was at after my first Mass. I just prayed a blessing over him, and he said the pain instantaneously went away. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it happens over time. But the fact is, why does the Lord heal? Because he wants people to be changed. Lee, you regaled us at table that you were healed. Well, what happens when we have God manifest in our lives? We talk about it. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to witness. And that's what the New Testament is witness of his work. Healing, if you've gone to any of our healing encounters, I put more stock in the importance of healing of hearts and minds than I do the body. Now, that doesn't mean we don't care about healing the body, but the Lord cares about our souls and our minds, and he sometimes allows the suffering of our bodies to get us to the place where we will let him do the healing of our hearts and minds. And the things that we talked about last night, the lies that we might believe, the inner vows and the judgments and the unforgiveness, all of that is a precursor. It kind of clears the deck for the Lord's healing graces to be brought to us. In Luke chapter 11, and we're gonna pray here in a few minutes. Luke chapter 11, Jesus is talking to his disciples about praying, perseverance in prayer. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, that isn't obvious. How many of you voted for, no show of hands? All of us prayed about Proposal 3, right? And we might say, well, and we asked and we did not receive. Well, we need to realize that we don't always know what the Father's will is for us, his perfect will. So Jesus in the garden said, Father, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, but yours be done. He prayed three times that way. And we need to say that, Lord, I don't know. This is, but when we pray, and we're asking, we're seeking, and we're knocking, we are in that relationship with our Father who loves us. Jesus continues, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And sometimes when we're asking for, we think we're asking for an egg, we're actually asking for a scorpion. Lord, help me win that $1.2 billion or $1.9 billion. That would be a scorpion, right? Oh, I would do good with it, Lord. I would tithe it. No, he knows what's best for us. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And what I hope you and I will do today is ask for an outpouring of his Holy Spirit. St. Hilary of Poitiers says, we who are reborn through the sacrament of baptism experience intense joy when we feel within us the first stirring of the Holy Spirit. And you might sense some warmness or interior confirmation or a heart racing. We are embodied creatures. And sometimes when we've been given the gift of healing, there can be a warmth in our hands. Or when we're laying hands on, there can be a warmth. There can be tears that come when we receive the Holy Spirit. We are embodied, and the Lord wants us to know his love more and more. He wants to free us with his love to love. We begin to have an insight into the mysteries of faith. We're able to prophesy and speak with wisdom. We become steadfast in hope and receive the gifts of healing. So these are the scriptures that we and the church fathers who talk about it, because it's been the experience of Christians throughout time. What I'm going to invite us to do now is to, I don't know, if, are the groups all as they have been at table? Okay. So what we'd like to have you do is kind of move around in the room so that you can stand closer to one another. And what we're going to invite you to do is to be some, we'll sing a song, Come Holy Spirit, and then we're just going to invite you to pray over each person in turn. Just ask if they're okay if you lay hands on them, and you can lay their hands on their shoulders, or they might be okay with you just placing a hand on their head, just praying for each other in turn for openness and to receive the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us, the faithful, that we might indeed know your love, receive your love, and give your love away. So let me invite you to split up now. Go along the various sides of the space.